Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast of book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles.
And it's so loud, isn't it?
I mean, life under the flight path is so obnoxiously loud.
It's just unnecessary.
Sometimes you have to turn the TV up because like they're so low.
No.
You can't hear the TV, yeah.
Gosh.
That's not even the worst one.
No.
So if you guys heard that, I live under a flight path. It's delightful. I used to have nightmares when I was a child that planes would crash.
Well, that's understandable.
Because we're right in the flight path.
I would have nightmares like that as an adult.
Yeah.
In my 30s.
I'd hear one. Especially if you heard one that was like really low and loud. And it sounded like a little different. And I'd be like, today's the day.
Yeah. Anyway.
Who knows if anxiety manifests in childhood? Who knows?
Not us.
I know, my cat came in for 2 seconds and has covered us both in fluff. Today's episode doesn't really have a very slick title or theme yet. This is a blog of mine that we're cannibalising, and I didn't even have a good name for it on the blog, so I'm going to read it.
There's just no good name.
It's a very specific trope we've got for you today, okay?
A micro trope.
It's like if you know, you know kind of trope, okay. Main character gets injured/sick and love interest takes care of them, trope wrecks.
I mean, it sums it up.
I couldn't think of a word. Like,
injured.
The tag I've used in the storygraph is injured trope.
Might be, yeah.
But, I don't have...
It's not just someone being injured, it's the specific of the love interest taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Intriguing.
It's different to the who hurt you trope. It's not the same thing.
No,
that's a separate
last
list.
Last week I said I said who did this to you last week, but it's different.
No,
yeah.
So that's also those are two different tropes as well. Though.
Yeah,
who hurt you or who did this to you, and then I don't know. I've got loads of trope wreck lists on my blog. Go look. It's linked in the description. Go look while you're listening. Just be immersed in the world.
Fully immersed.
Be fully immersed.
The immersive experience, lazy book lovers.
So in the original version of this, my list had 20 books on it, which is mixed in with some of the ones I have read. For today, for you guys, I've only included a couple that I have read, but we're going to talk about ones that I haven't read.
Yeah, attention cannot be kept for 20 books worth.
No. So I've narrowed it down to 10, and they're the ones that I primarily have not read, but I've got a couple I have just for... because I wanted to talk about
shits and gigs.
Just because I could, because I'm in charge. You can find the full list on my blog, I guess. Okay, so this is one that once I was looking for it on TikTok, there was like a shit ton of videos about, but I had not heard of it, so I'll be interested to see if you've heard of it.
Okay.
From Lukov with Love.
Oh, yeah.
You have heard of this?
Yeah.
Mariana Sapta.
I always thought it was part of the... Lucy Score, I think that's her name. Stuff. I always thought it was part of that at a quick glance because it's similar kind of.
Yeah,
covers,
very similar style of cover.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to do my job as the podcast opener. Hold on. You can join our September October buddy read. The link will be in the description. It is Pumpkins and Poltergeist by Ellie K. Mulford.
Wild Pumpkins and Poltergeist, something like that. Hang on, let me investigate.
It will have been announced on our socials by the time you guys get to it, and the link will be available in the description. But we've only just picked it because we record ahead of time. Because organised.
We are organised for
so
once.
Organised.
It is the name of Pumpkin Spice and Poltergeist.
There we go.
Ellie K. Mulford and L. Morrison.
Cool.
So this will be available on Kindle Unlimited. If you have that, please come join us.
So yeah, we read it over September, October. You can join on Storygraph, or if you just want to chat with us in our Facebook group and stuff, you can also do that there. We do have a Discord, so if you enjoyed the podcast today and you feel like trying to support us financially, we have a Ko-fi link. It's kind of like Patreon. Gets you a subscription to us and to an exclusive Discord group where we want to chat with you. So please come there so we can chat with you. All right, those bits done. Back to the list.
We did it.
From Lukov with Love. Okay. Oh, this is a pretty decent-sized description for Storygraph. It's not hideously long.
That's good.
If someone were to ask Jasmine Santos to describe the last few years of her life with a single word, it would definitely be a four-letter one. After 17 years and countless broken bones and broken promises, she knows her window to compete in figure skating is coming to a close. When the offer of a lifetime comes in from an arrogant idiot she's spent the last decade dreaming about, pushing in the way of a moving bus, Jasmine might have to reconsider everything, including Ivan Lukov. Or Ivan Lukov. That last sentence really threw me.
Yeah.
To this one, yeah, is very much, oh, they were all going on about the injured scene where he takes care of her. There was lots of swooning about it when I looked it up before the blog. So,
swoon. But it's a contemporary romance.
Yeah. Mm. Contemporary romance, slow-paced, emotional. Those are the tags. Sports.
Okay.
Sounds nice. Sounds good.
I don't think it's something I'll pick up, but it sounds...
Yeah, I'm not sure it's good. For me.
Mm. But it sounds interesting. But
it is very much loved online, yeah, when I looked it up. Because yeah, I was like, I know nothing about this.
Current fantasy and horror TBR is far too extreme to delve into anything else right now.
Yeah. And this was another one that I hadn't heard of, that lots of people were going nuts about when I was looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a lot of tags that are right for us. Okay, so it's In Deeper Waters, F.T. Lukens.
Mm.
Let me show you the cover. I don't know if you recognise
that. Oh, I've seen this cover. I think I might have put this on a indie upcoming release and then maybe not actually talked about it.
So, I mean, the tags are fiction, fantasy, LGBTQIA+, romance, young adult, adventurous, lighthearted, fast-paced. So it's a lot of our buzzwords.
Yeah, I had that on a, I had it on a list for something, but I don't think I ever got around to mentioning it on the podcast.
And according to TikTok, it is very much this injured, sick, taking care of trope.
If only there was a quick way of saying this.
Yeah, I don't know how to... Because these people...
Injured care?
Yeah.
No, that sounds like something at a hospital. Because if
they care of them when they're sick, like, the hating game is on there because he takes care of her when she gets the flu. In my full list, I've not included it for you guys, but on my full list, Hasten Games on there, because she gets the flu and he takes care of her. So that's what I mean. It's a it's a doubly injured slash sick.
Injured slash
sick. A young prince must rely on mysterious stranger to save him when he is kidnapped during his coming of age tour in the swoon worthy adventure that is Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue meets Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh my god, yes.
What's it called again?
In Deeper Waters.
Thank you.
Right. I'm going to read the full description because this sounds interesting. Prince Tal has long awaited his coming-of-age tour. After spending most of his life cloistered behind palace walls as he learns to keep his forbidden magic a secret, he can finally see his family's kingdom for the first time. His first taste of adventure comes 2 days into the journey when their crew discovers a mysterious prisoner on a burning derelict vessel. Tasked with watching over the prisoner, Tal is surprised to feel an intense connection with the roguish Athlan.
I own it.
You've already bought it.
I bought it in March 2023. There we go.
Did you buy a physical copy as well?
No, just the ebook.
Ah, of course. So when Athlan leaps overboard and disappears, Tal feels responsible and heartbroken, knowing Athlan could have not have survived in the open ocean. That is until Tal runs into Athlan days later on dry land, very much alive and as charming and secretive as ever. Mm. But before they can pursue anything further, Tal is kidnapped by pirates and held ransom in a plot to reveal his rumoured powers and instigate a war. Tal must escape if he hopes to save his family and his kingdom, and Athlan might be just be his only hope. That sounds so...
That does sound good.
Good.
This author has like a whole series of books that I want to read. That's Spellbound. The covers are all
gorgeous.
I would like to own these physically.
So this is one of the ones, that I was looking into and I went down a bit of a rabbit hole and they sounded really good. But I actually didn't read the full description until just sounds now. So good. That sounds so fucking good.
All right, fine.
Fine. Whenever we do these, it just makes our lives more difficult sometimes. Like, I've been reading fantastic things this year because of this, but...
Oh, my ratings this year have been just full of good stuff.
I haven't had any duds. I've had such a good reading year.
How very dare it.
And I think I blame our podcasts, and maybe you guys should follow us, because clearly we know what we're talking about, because we're having a fantastic time.
Or we just know our own taste so well now.
Okay, so this next book is Pestilence, The Four Horsemen, Book 1 by Laura Thalassa.
Yeah.
So that is the author of Rhapsodic.
Yep.
Which you guys might have heard of, because that one's been around a while.
And it's the Four Horsemen series, isn't it? Yeah.
So this is an author who's a bit of a book talk darling. Oh, stop. On and off. What?
All the audiobooks are on Everand.
Fuck off. Sorry, we're talking about the previous series we just talked about. Wait, I'm going to go do that now, otherwise I'm going to forget. This is not great audio for you.
Sorry, it's just us adding things. And the ebooks as well. I mean, I think I'm going to do them as audio, but yeah. Okay,
oh
perfect.
God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's great.
Fine.
Definitely going
to. We'll have to do a little update of these at some point.
Oh no, for me it's not coming up with the audiobooks. Why are you special?
Guess I'm just awesome.
All right, well, I'm going to investigate that more later.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to Pestilence. They came to Earth, pestilence, war, famine, death. Four horsemen riding their screaming steeds, racing to the corners of the world. Four horsemen with the power to destroy all of humanity. They came to Earth and they came to end us all. When pestilence comes for Sarah Burns' town, or Sarah, because it is American. Would it be Sarah? I'm going to say Sarah.
Has it got a H at the end?
No.
Sarah.
All right, I'll say Sarah. When pestilence comes for Sarah Burns' town, one thing is certain. Everyone she knows and loves is marked for death. Unless, of course, the angelic-looking horseman is stopped, which is exactly what Sarah has in mind when she shoots the unholy beast off his steed. Too bad no one told her pestilence can't be killed. Mm-hmm. Now, the horseman, very much alive and very pissed off, has taken her prisoner and is eager to make her suffer. Only the longer she is with him, the more certain she is about his true feelings towards her. And hers towards him. And now, well, Sarah might just be able to save the world, but in order to do so, she'll have to sacrifice her heart in the process.
Watched vlogs of people reading this series, and I feel like I might enjoy it, but not enough to bump it up my TBR above other books.
Yeah. Adventurous, dark, emotional, medium-paced.
I mean, buzzwords.
Yeah. There's a few buzzwords there.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like forced proximity trope, I guess.
Yeah.
She must get injured at some point. He takes care of it. I don't know, for it to be on this list. I trusted the internet and didn't really research much further than this.
Well, that was your first mistake. You trusted the internet.
So far, actually, though, where I've been making these trope lists and then I go and read books off of them,
there.
I actually find I'm like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I think most of the time, they're pretty good. The only times I question it is the amount of times when people refer to a book as a romantasy, but it's not. It's a fancy book with like a subplot of romance.
Yeah.
Like Cruel Prince, people will talk about it like a romantasy. That series is like a political book, right?
I've only read the first one.
Another book, Scythe, people have put that on a romantasy series, but apparently the romance is like a subplot.
If you look at Cruel Prince merch, just like on Etsy and stuff, it's all the like few quotes that are like intense and angsty. Yeah. And it very much gives.
But across three books, there's like a handful of quotes or whatever. Like
it's a secondary plot.
Mm.
I think it's quite misleading.
Yeah.
It is not like ACTA, where it's the first plot is the romance and the backdrop is everything else. So I got something a bit different because I do try and change around the genres when I make these lists. Not really successfully because my algorithm is obviously tuned to me. Always Only You, Bergman Brothers Book 2, Chloe Lais. It's got one of those, again.
There's a whole bunch of stuff I've never heard of.
Yeah, I know. It's got one of those typical contemporary romance covers. Oh, I have covers. Seen
this. Yeah, because this is on my. People have recommended this to me when I asked for books with disabled rep.
Yes, because she's got a cane.
Yeah, is this. I mean, you're about to tell us, so maybe I should just let you tell us.
Yeah, maybe.
She's like a nice fucking coach or something, right?
I think so. Yeah. Hold on. Contemporary romance, sport, emotional, funny, hopeful. Medium paced. Right. Sport. Oh, it's done. It's got one of those things where it's got the intro from two points of view.
Oh. That I always somehow get confused about for no reason apart from I'm a dumbass.
It's just you are who you are.
Yeah.
Rent. The moment I met her, I knew Frankie Serafino. I knew Frankie was someone worth waiting for.
Thank you. Yeah.
Deadpan delivery, secret heart of gold, and a rare one dimpled smile that makes my knees weak. Frankie has been forbidden since the day she and I became co-workers, meaning waiting has been the name of my game, besides hockey, that is. I'm a player on the team, she's on staff, and as long as we work together, dating is off limits. But patience has always been my virtue. Frankie won't be here forever. She's headed for bigger, better things. And I just hope that when she leaves the team and I tell her how I feel, she won't leave me behind too. Frankie, I've had a problem at work since the day Ren Bergman joined the team. A 6'3" hunk of happy with a sunshine smile, I'm a grumbly grump, and his ridiculously good nature drives me nuts. But even I can't ignore the hot tamale of a ginger with icy eyes, the perfect playoff beard, and a body built for sin that he's annoyingly modest about. Before I got wise, I would have tripped over myself to get a guy like Ren, but with my diagnosis, I've learned what I am to most people in my life, a problem, not a person. Now, opening my heart to anyone, no matter how sweet, is the last thing I'm prepared to do. So this is Grumpy Sunshine.
This is the Grumpy Sunshine way I like.
She sounds really sarcastic as well.
Where she's the grump and he's the sunshine. That's the way I like it.
Like, dry humour, sarcasm, banter. Oh,
and he's got golden retriever energy.
Yeah, this is one for me, I think. This all the things I like. And we've got good rep in it. Nice.
I think I've seen this on Everand as an audio, potentially.
Oh, fuck.
Just saying.
Fine.
If you insist.
Right, this is another one I don't know much about, but once I looked into TikToks of it, fucking tons of them.
Oh, okay.
So again, these are all books that other people seem to be aware of. We're in a very specific sphere, it seems.
Mm.
Fragile Remedy, Maria Ingrande Mora.
Hmm.
I'm very sorry.
Can I see the picture of the cover to see if I recognise it? No, I don't. That looks cool, though.
Oh, yeah, it does. Fiction, dystopian, fantasy, LGBTQI+, young adult, adventurous, dark, medium. So it's got all the words.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, I feel like...
hate how good this sounds.
I feel like we're going to be in trouble.
But hearing the description, I already hate how good it sounds.
Oh, God, I've just seen the start of it. Right, okay, let me read it.
Let me just open up StoryGraph.
16-year-old Nate is a gem, a genetically engineered medical surrogate created by Gathos City scientists as a cure for the elite from the fatal lung rot ravaging the population. As a child, Nate was smuggled out of the laboratory where he was held captive and taken into the Withers, a quarantined, lawless region. He manages to survive by becoming a tinkerer, fixing broken tech in exchange for food or a safe place to sleep. When he meets Reed, a kind and fiercely protective boy who makes his heart race, and his misfit gang of scavengers, Nate finds the family he's always longed for, even if you can't risk telling them what he is. But Gathos created a genetic failsafe in their gems, a flaw in their DNA that causes their health to rapidly deteriorate as they age unless they are regularly dosed with medication controlled by Gathos City. When violence erupts across the Withers, Nate's illegal supply of medicine is cut off, and a vicious attack on Reed threatens to expose his secret. With time running out, Nate is left with only two options: work for a shadowy terrorist organization that has means to keep him alive, or stay and die with the boy he loves. Fuck me.
Fine. What's it called again?
Fucking hell. I'm reading that. That sounds so good. What the f- oh.
How dare you pick good books to this? What's it called again?
Fragile Remedy.
Thanks.
That sounds so good. Oh dear. Fine. It's found family. They're a little
gay. The minute I heard it's found family, I was like, fine. It's going on the
gay.
List.
It's gay. It's dystopian.
Oh, it's got good ratings. How very daring. Not a ratings means anything, but still.
Okay. I feel like this whole list has us a bit fucked, to be honest. Although, as we go through it.
Oh, damn it.
The Nature of Witches, Rachel Griffin.
Oh, yeah, I want to read this.
Fiction, fantasy, young adult, adventurous, emotional, hopeful, medium pace.
Oh.
From a stunning new voice in YA comes the fierce romantic story about a world on the brink of destruction, the one witch who holds the power to save it, and the choice that could cost her everything she loves. Right, this is a bit of a long description, but I feel like it's going to be worth it. For centuries, witches have maintained the climate, their power from the sun peaking in the season of their birth. But now the control is faltering as the atmosphere becomes more erratic. All hope lies with Clara, an ever-witch whose rare magic is tied to every season. In autumn, Clara wants nothing to do with her power. It's wild and volatile, and the price of her magic, losing the one she loves, is too high, despite the need to control the increasingly dangerous weather. In winter, the world is on the precipice of disaster. Fires burn, storms rage, and Clara accepts she's the only one who can make a difference. In spring, she falls for Sang, the witch training her. As her magic grows, so do her feelings, until she's terrified Sang will be the next one she loses. In summer, Clara must choose between her power and her happiness, her duty and the people she loves, before she loses Sang, her magic, and thrusts the world into chaos.
That sounds quite good.
That sounds so good. And the cover looks amazing.
Yeah.
Whoopsie daisies.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, dang it. That's another one, I think.
Gosh darn it.
Right. Moving swiftly on to more things for our TBRs. Oh, hold on. I've clicked off the list by accident.
Oh, dear. Hold did on. The thing.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with me?
These are the questions.
Okay. A Ruin of Roses, Deliciously Dark Fairy Tales, Book 1, K.F. Breen.
Okay, I'm going to listen to it or read it. Good job.
Yep. I thought this one might be for you. I could save him, but he would ruin me.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, this sounds great.
It's going to get worse for you. Oh, no. The Beast. The creature that stalks the forbidden wood. The Dragon Prince. He has suffered a fate worse than death. We all have. A curse put on upon us by a mad king. We are kingdom locked in time. Shift is unable to feel our animals. Stuck here by a deal between the late king and a demon who seeks our destruction. The only one keeping his kingdom alive is Niffian, the golden prince to a stolen throne, the last dragon shifter. He's our hope. He's my nightmare. When he catches me trespassing in the forbidden wood, he doesn't punish me with death as he's entitled. He takes me instead, forces me back to his castle as his prisoner, seeks to use me. Apparently I can save him. I can save the whole forgotten kingdom locked away by the demon king's power. But it would mean taming the monster beneath his skin. It would mean giving myself to him. It would mean my ruin. It's a dark and spicy Beauty and the Beast retelling with an anti-hero and a strong heroine.
What's it called?
I'm pretty sure K.F. Breen's books are on Kindle Unlimited as well. A Ruin of Roses.
Yes,
not
they
angry.
Are. They
not
are.
Not angry, but just disappointed, right?
Part one of the Deliciously Dark Fairy Tales series. We all know how much I love a dark fairy tale retelling.
And it's Beauty and the Beast, which you really love. You've just read so many of them.
Borrow that then, shall I? There's a reason we stopped doing these.
I know. It's just like add so many to our lists. Mm. But you know, we have a good time, so. You know.
Here for a good time, not a long time.
This next one also looks really good. I did a good job with this list. Go me.
I'm very impressed so far.
It's a very good list. Good job, Tony.
Good job.
Go me.
Good job, Tony, from the past.
Divine Blood, Guardians of the Maiden, Book 1, Beck Michaels. None of these are very short as well, I have to tell you.
No, they never are, because that'd be kind to me.
The shadow demon nearly took everything from Dina, and it would soon return for more. But when she discovers a way to fight back, she must go on a perilous journey and risk it all for those she holds dear. Along the way, she meets Cassiel, a celestial prince with magic blood and wings as black as his heart. He wants nothing to do with Dina until he learns she could lead him to a place he has been searching for his whole life. But reaching their destination is not as easy as they thought, nor are they the only ones who search for it. With danger at every turn and harrowing secrets between them, the quest will require more than determination. They must fight for what they desire or die trying.
Lovely jubbly.
That sounds good.
That sounds
how many are
wonderful, thanks.
How many are in this fucking series? Four so far. The last book is 895 pages. I mean,
that's what I think about that.
The third book in this series is 752 pages.
The lady gasped.
Oh my god, these have been going on since. So the first one came out in 2020.
I'm reading the first in this series at the moment called Blood Grace. Yeah. They're indie published. And on Amazon, there's a cut-off point for how many pages you can have on a paperback book. So she's had to put all of her books into twos.
Right. One, part two. I didn't know
and
that.
Each part is like 600 pages.
Okay.
So the book is like 1,200
pages. I mean, you did say you were going to try and read longer books this year.
Yeah.
So you really stuck yourself with
really
that one.
Really fucked myself
Yeah. You're the agent of your own misery.
To be fair, I can read like two more books and I'm done for the year now. So I might not read anything else the rest of the year.
That's a lie. What are you going to do?
Reach my goal. Be done.
In, what are you going to do? Be in reality?
Done.
No.
Going to play Sims, isn't it? Going to watch those Netflix shows I keep meaning to watch.
But you can't watch them and like do all the do chores and stuff not easily, can you? You can watch them on your phone, to be fair.
On my tablet.
Yeah.
I've been watching loads of Lexi, aka Newly Nova videos. I've just been going back through all of them.
Yeah, I know. I've made my way to... Like, I need her to do more.
Yeah, she does. She's like, not keeping up with my demand.
No, I need more.
Yeah, I watched the the one of the Credence, which really made me laugh.
Yeah, that's. I mean, she does such good breakdowns of the books.
I love it. She has like a little
the list of crimes.
Yeah. Check her out if you haven't already. She's on TikTok and YouTube, possibly Instagram. I don't know.
I think she's on Instagram. Because she's mentioned it in one of her videos. She was like, if you guys follow me on Instagram, you'll know this already.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she started off on Book Talk, so she's a big lover of Book Talk, so she reads, like, Book Talk books, and it's so funny.
Yeah, the only place I because she doesn't like smut books. Mm. So that's the only place I disagree with. A lot of her reviews are very skewed in that favour.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I disagree on, because I'm like...
That's why you shouldn't blindly take people's reviews. You should take reviews from people whose taste you know. So, like... If you know, for instance, that the person doing the review doesn't like smart, you can bear that in mind.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's a book she's maybe downgraded because of the smart that
but
I
for
wouldn't
you,
have.
That wouldn't have downgraded, yeah.
All right, okay. So this one is, I added this to the list because I could, because I'm in charge, and because I like it.
Because it's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Easy Tiger, Prickle Island Zoo, Book 2, Ali K. Mulford. This is a series by the author that you've heard that we, at the start, that we're doing the buddy read for. Yep. Unapologetic obsession. Lover of them. This series is set in a zoo. It's all the siblings in the zoo that run the zoo. And each book follows one sibling falling in love. This is Book 2, because Book 2 I absolutely loved. I can read the description because I don't think it's spoilers for book one. He's trying to keep his livelihood afloat. She threatens to destroy it. Will two wild hearts finally be tamed? Mm-hmm. Hawk Lachlan will do anything to save his family's zoo.
Great names.
I know. All the siblings are named after birds, basically. With only a year to prove that he and his siblings can handle the responsibility, the gruff eldest brother is determined to fulfil his father's legacy. So when the new gift shop girl keeps causing clumsy chaos, he refuses to let their attraction add to the mayhem. Hannah Murphy is getting desperate. Needing enough cash to help her mum retire, the gossip columnist takes a mysterious job to spy on the handsome Grouch, who always seems to catch her in hilariously compromising snooping attempts. But when she falls into a penguin pond and comes out shirtless, she can't deny their sizzling chemistry. Realising the blundering beauty has squeezed her way past his defences, Hawk grows closer to the woman, helping him stay sane. But as Hannah finds herself falling hard, she fears her big secret has already doomed her chance at happiness. Will outrageous shenanigans lead to heartbreak or forever? Easy Tiger is a swoon-worthy second book in the Prickle Island Zoo romantic comedy series.
I was going to ask, is it the first one? It's the second one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it does not even do the siblings in order.
No,
we've done one of the girls, and I think she's one of the middles.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're doing... the oldest brother. Cool.
It's not like but Bridgerton. There's a sister between Bridgerton them. Bridgerton doesn't do it in sibling order either, so ignore me.
I think in the books it did though, didn't
no,
it?
No, because the Duke and I is the first book.
Oh. Yeah. I really love book two, which is why I've included it here. There's like loads of like when she falls in the penguin enclosure, it's so funny. She's
a gift shop worker.
Yeah.
Why is she even at the penguin enclosure? You dumb lady. Yeah.
So she falls in trying to spy. and also the walls are really high. So then she has like she's like out. Can't get out. She ends up using her trousers as like a rope to get out.
So she's just like in her underwear.
Yeah. Obviously the zoo is closed at this point when this happens. And then she like walks back
Imagine
out.
Imagine just watching it on the camera, watching someone do that.
Well, they have no cameras on that bit, luckily. Or at least no one bothered to check them. So then she comes walking out soaking wet and bumps into love interest. And he's like, why are you soaking wet? What have you been doing? She's like, I was playing in the sprinklers in the kids' playground.
Because that's a better thing to say.
And he's like, how have you gotten that wet from the sprinklers? They literally sort of threw a little... like, it's just for the kids to play in the hot sand. She's like, I've been there a while.
Rather than just admit, she fell in the penguin enclosure.
Well, obviously she fell in the penguin enclosure spying. So yeah. She's like, I can't say that. She's like, pure ADHD chaos. I love it.
I really need to read this.
And he's really, like, he's grumpy, but he's also really kind to her about her little chaotic moments.
As he should be.
And he finds her quite endearing, and as someone who is.
As he should do.
Also, clumsy as hell. And ADHD chaos. A lot of the time. It's been so bad lately. Oh
my God. So my, for those of you who haven't listened for a while, my son is neurodivergent. So he's my first, and so I'm not sure what to expect from a child that's like neurotypical.
Yeah.
Because obviously all of my experiences with my son. So my daughter, who is almost two, she's a toddler. She's almost two. She's
that's
two
crazy. I know. I was thinking about that the other day. Actually,
someone
asked me, and yeah. I was like, "No, it's the baby." And I was like, "Wait."
This weekend, I was asked, "What are you doing for her second birthday?" And I was like, "It's ages away." And I was like, "Shit, it's next month."
Yeah, I know.
Poor second child. Anyway, this weekend we went away for the weekend on holiday, and she wanted to go in the swing for like half an hour, just going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And then she got really into the 2p machines and was just there for ages putting the 2p's in.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the kind of repetitive tasks she really likes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how normal that is or how typical that is or if that's a sign of anything.
Well, because obviously where she is a girl, it's gonna be different.
Exactly.
To your first. So the signs will be different.
So
I mean, her odds aren't great given both
she's fucked,
both the parents,
her.
Yeah.
Both parents and her brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Like when you sort of review a lot of my parents' behaviour. And I started going to them, I was like, hey guys, from my online research, by the way, this isn't normal. So that when you were telling me that's normal, everyone does that, turns out, no.
It turns out you were wrong.
Turns out you were also a bit wonky. Not that someone who's neurodivergent is wonky, it's a joke, guys.
Yeah. When I said to my partner's mum, ADHD is genetic, and she was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And she was looking at his dad, and I was like, you're looking the wrong way.
Well, like, so when my granddad, when you hear stories about him, I'm like, if we reframe those stories in a modern context, could we maybe he was quite quirky.
Like, when people were like, oh, there was no ADHD when we were kids. And then it was, like, a granddad building model airplanes in his basement and no one was allowed to touch them or whatever.
This came up because they were telling stories about, basically, if you were in a public place and you were like, granddad, wait there, I'm just going to go in the shop and grab something. Granddad would not wait there. He would be gone.
He'd be distracted by something and follow,
he'd go, the sound
or something.
He'd go look at something else. He'd wander off. He'd make a friend. You'd find him talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
He'd just sort of wander off and go chatting to someone. So, but he would never be where you left him. And I'm like, some things like that.
It's my assumption.
Oh, you were just like, for people who can't see us, she was showing me something on her phone about what repetitive behaviours might mean.
fucking toddlers.
You know, our odds weren't great. You knew this. That's what I say about the person I'm dating. I was like, if we stay together long enough to have kids together, I think we need to go into it with the assumption.
Yeah.
Oh, right from the beginning, the assumption is...
Just
spicy.
It's going to be like one of those things where, like, your kid might one day have to come out and be like, Mum, I'm neurotypical. You'll be like, what?
We didn't raise you that way.
After all we've done for you.
Anyway, back to... So, I've finished that description.
Okay, yeah.
Very good series, can recommend. And the author herself is ADHD, so... You know.
And voices.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. This one is a series I have read, so we're into the have read section.
Okay, cool.
Kingdom of the Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Kingdom of the Wicked, book one. Mm. Kerry Manisquillo, which is how they pronounce it on the audiobook, so I'm just going to stick with it.
That's good, because I've never known how to pronounce it.
That's how they say it in the audiobook, and I would hope they asked her.
Turns out someone might have pointed out if it was wrong.
Yeah. Two sisters, one brutal murder, a quest for vengeance that will unleash hell itself, and an intoxicating romance. Amelia and her twin sister, Vittoria, are Strenghe, witches who live secretly among humans, avoiding notice and persecution. One night, Vittoria misses dinner service at the family's renowned Sicilian restaurant. Amelia soon finds the body of her beloved twin desecrated beyond belief. Devastated, Amelia sets out to find her sister's killer and to seek vengeance at any cost, even if it means using dark magic that's long forbidden. Then Amelia meets Wrath, one of the wicked princes of hell she has been warned against in tales since she was a child. Wrath claims to be on Amelia's side, tasked by his master with solving the series of women's murders on the island, but when it comes to the wicked, nothing is as it seems. So, I happen to know what the scene is. I'm 16.
Mm.
So his brothers, all the different sins of hell,
yeah,
come to the surface because of what's going on.
Lexi read this in a vlog, didn't
she? Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His brother, Lust, basically kind of bamboozles her with his lusty magic. With his
lust magic.
Yeah, and it makes her quite... Because the lust is also about, like, a hunger, like a soul-deep hunger and wanting.
Mm.
So at first, when you're sort of touched by his magic, it does make you quite horny. But the result is, like, she falls into, like, a deep depression pit. Because, like, just the wanting and the loneliness and, like, the ah. So she sort of swings the other way, which is, like, the come down from his powers.
Mm-mm.
And Wrath, despite being, like, wrath and anger himself, takes care of her. Mm. She's, like, out cold for a couple days. And he just has her in a nice comfy bed and force feeds her a few times. Mm. And when she's got, like, no energy to do anything, he's, like, forcing her to eat and stuff because, like, she obviously goes into a deep depression. And then when she seems to be coming out of it, he, like, puts her into this special bath which is surrounded by, like, witchy things. Mm. That he's gone, like, he's researched and he does all witchy stuff to heal her.
How dare he? Well, that sounds cute, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this series, as a whole, the fucking ending... You, where you start is not where you end. That's all I will say. It's a good series. It's fucking wild. All right. Final book we've both read.
Mm-hmm.
Both love. Have probably talked about far too often on this podcast, but in case you're new. Six of Crows, Leigh Bardugo.
I was like, this must be on the list.
Obviously, the scene where this takes place, the scene where someone takes care of an injured loved one, is book two. But I'm going to read you the summary for book one. In case you've lived under a rock. Discover what comes next for Heist Trio, Kaz, Inej and Jesper, and the star-crossed Nina and Matthias in the number one book's best-selling Six of Crows. Ketterdam, a bustling hub of international trade where anything can be had for the right price, and no one knows that better than criminal prodigy Kaz Brekker. Kaz is offered a chance at a deadly heist that could make him rich beyond his wildest dreams, but he can't pull it off it alone. A convict with a thirst for revenge, a sharpshooter who can't walk away from a wager, a runaway with a privileged past, a spy known as the Wraith, a heartrender using her magic to survive the slums, a thief with a gift for unlikely escapes. Six dangerous outcasts, one impossible heist. Kaz's crew is the only thing that might stand between the world and destruction if they don't kill each other first.
Mm-hmm.
we love this book. We have raved about this book.
Yeah.
I love the fam family in this. I love the characters. I wish... I'm glad... And yeah, I mean, the duology is nice. It wraps up really nicely. And I think it would ruin it to have more, but I want more about these characters.
Yeah, there is a third... There is a book coming, but no one's sure whether it's... Because originally it was said to be a Six of Crows part 3.
Yeah.
But now they're saying it's just... add on to the King of Scars?
Well, in the King of Scars series, they do go to Ketterdam to ask for Kaz's help.
Yeah.
So we see Kaz, but we don't see Inej.
Yeah.
We see Kaz and Jester.
So I would rather it was a book in the King of Scars series and just touched upon them.
So we got a bit more of them, but we don't ruin that ending. Because the ending is so
It's just done. Good. It's good.
Also, we do you remember it. I said to you I had artwork of...
Oh, yeah.
The bar... So... The scene that is the take care of you when you're injured scene happens in book 2. It's the bathroom scene. If you know the books, you know what I'm talking about. For those who don't know the books. These two characters, for various reasons of their tragic pasts, find touch difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So this entire scene, they don't actually really touch. It's like brushes of skin.
Mm.
And lots of angsty breathing in an enclosed space. But nothing happens, and it is still much more intimate than entire smart scenes I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here is the artwork. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh god, it's so good. Yeah,
I think it captures like that moment perfectly. It does, yeah. If I remember, I will put it in the Instagram post. That's a big if. You could maybe find it on Pinterest. I don't know. That's the 10 that I actually that's 11 technically that I prepared for today. There's a full list of 20 available for you, should you want it.
That was a really good list.
That's a, added such a good list.
It's added a lot to my TBR, that's quite stressful. But, yeah, that was a good list. I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones I spent a bit more time looking on TikTok. Yeah. As you heard, looking through reviews, so.
And I think a lot of them I would want to read as well, annoyingly.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some in that were pretty good, if I do say so myself.
It is a micro trope that I do like.
Yeah, this is, I did a blog post, I think 2 years ago now, like oddly specific tropes that I like, and this trope was in there, and then I realised that because I've been making my way through different tropes, making lists, like recommendation lists, based off of like TikTok, YouTube, whatever that I can find, and my own knowledge of books. And so they're all on my blog, if you want them. I should do something with them. I should probably turn them into TikToks too, but, you know, that's effort.
Easy enough.
So, this is added to this very specific trope. Mm. I've got lots of very specific tropes.
Here's a trope I like. I think as a parent, and the... Not as bad as it could be, but, like, kind of the de facto project manager of the household.
Yeah.
I mean... Look, we try. Not 50-50, but it's not as bad as it is for some wives.
Yeah.
I love the idea of someone looking after me. That's it. That's all I want. I just want someone to look after me. And me not to tell them how to look after
them,
me.
You know when they just sort of like...
Do it.
Just sit down. Do bandages or whatever, or like you're really poorly and you wake up and someone's cleaned everything up and has taken care of you. So that's in like, the hating game, that's what happens.
If I was ill and my partner just like made me some food and took the kids out,
yeah,
I'd marry him.
But like in the hating game, she gets the flu. And, like, she's out at a day trip with the company when she starts to get sick and she starts throwing up at the day trip. And he's like, I'm going to fucking take you home, shut up. And he takes her home. And then she's still throwing up and he's like, okay. And he's holding her hair back and she's like, go away, this is so gross, leave me alone. Just get out of my apartment, I don't want you here. And he's like, I'm not leaving you like this, like, you're just helpless right now.
On death's door, yeah.
And he's like, feeding her water and stuff, she can't eat anything. And then... Like, she starts to get, like, feverish and all sorts of stuff. So then he calls his doctor brother in the middle of the night. Mm. And his brother turns up and he's like, you've done everything right. It's nothing to do but wait for this to end, essentially. Aww. She's got, like, a flu. All you've got to do is wait it out now. You've done everything you can. And she's, like, the main character. It's all told from the girl's point of view and why she's in and out. Kind of keeps falling asleep from exhaustion from all the throwing up. Yeah, and then in the morning, he's like obviously dealt with a lot of disgusting stuff. He's had to change her clothes for her, like all sorts of things. And in the morning, she's like, oh no, because it's very much like a points game with them. And she's like, he's just got 1,000 points from this. Like, this is so awkward. He needs to get out.
Oh, I love that.
And then the next day, she's like, well, I've got to do something to pay back. Because now we're not even.
Yeah, I've got to do 1,000 points worth of something. Oh, that'd be cute. Yeah, well, last time I was sick, whilst I was throwing up, my daughter was asking for milk, so.
That's nice.
She had some milk whilst I was throwing up.
To be fair, the last time I was sick, because obviously I still live in my you family home. You wanted
milk as well, yeah.
No. No, but I mean, I can't imagine milk helps a chest infection. I was not what I was craving at that point. No. I was craving death.
Yeah.
I was properly ill with that bad boy. But luckily, the thing is, when I'm sick, I look sick.
No, you're grey.
I am grey. I've got bags. I look sick. It's very helpful for work because they always believe me.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I just look very pathetic, which means I get lots of help from my family.
That is good.
Where I'm just like, I am not going to eat if one of you don't make me toast. Like, I'm not getting up. I will just lie here.
I will die.
And die.
Yeah. It would be my deathbed. Lovely. Well, thank you for joining us today. Let us know if you've read any of these.
/ if we added to your TBRs as much as we've just done to our own.
Or if there's any that you think should be on the list, go check Tony's blog first. And then come let us know on our Facebook group, our Instagram, our Discord, our TikTok. Come let us know. You can support us on Ko-fi if you would like to. And then you get a link to a private Discord channel. And we would really appreciate it if you like, rate, subscribe, follow, whatever the options are, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd really appreciate that. Set it up for auto download. It'll really help push us in the algorithm to find more listeners. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.